CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you as we always are. Every weekday afternoon, we set this time aside, live radio, and to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, especially to look at current events through a biblical perspective. And again, there's a whole lot of them going on right now. And also what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? If you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that toll-free number to call, 8888. Ask CSN. You can be part of the program today so you can give good answers when people ask you questions. Joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker here on the Weekend Time, Word for the Church. We have with us Scott Parker from Calvary Chapel Festus, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, and welcome.
Hello, Mike. It's great to be with you here. It's starting off another week of answering questions. It's always a joy to be with you and a privilege and an honor. And so, thanks for inviting me again.
Yeah, it's always a blessing to have you with us. Looking forward to answering some questions. And I don't know how many of all of you listening was able to watch yesterday the Charlie Kirk Memorial. Very touching, very heartwarming, very much a place filled with love. So different than anything I see from the other side of the aisle. We have a call for forgiveness and love and arms raised. And, you know, it's interesting to me, Scott, that, well, even the Catholics talk like full-on, full-blown evangelicals yesterday. I was very taken back by the whole thing. And what a testimony globally to the world of our faith in God. Your thoughts?
Exactly, Mike. You know, and the first thing, like you said, is the response. Ever since what happened to Charlie, the response from those that, you know, the world would, or the people would say, are on the right or the conservatives. You know, listen, so much of that population are believers. We're Christians. And this is the way we respond. You know, Charlie was, you know, yesterday I had quoted one thing Charlie had said. Charlie had said concerning his life, he said, here's my position of who I am. He said, number one, I'm a Christian. And because of that, number two, I'm an American. Number three, because he was a Christian, he was a constitutionalist. And number four, he was a conservative. And, you know, Charlie held the views politically that he held because his views were formed by his Christian beliefs, by what the Bible has to say. And I think that's interesting because in the wake of his assassination, look how those who supported Charlie, who were on board with Charlie, look how they're responding to his death. So much different than what happened in 2020 when George Floyd was killed and how people responded on the left, you know, burning buildings, burning cars, looting, doing all this. And you see the difference here. And it's been amazing to see all of these prayer vigils. I was part of one 2 weeks ago, the Friday after Charlie was killed. And got the privilege of being there to pray and to close it out in prayer. And ever since then, that's what you've seen. You've seen the response to Charlie's death has been prayer, and it's been worship, and it's been looking to God. And it was just so wonderful, Mike, to see yesterday the leaders of our nation, our president, our vice president, his cabinet, and so many of the senators. And so, I mean, just to see our leaders. And then those, like you said, to get up to speak, sharing the gospel. I mean, my goodness, Marco Rubio, you know, he brought the gospel hard and strong. It's exciting to see, Mike, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, yesterday I was at an event. So the University of Missouri here in St. Louis, the St. Louis branch, they have a Turning Point USA chapter. They had invited me to come because they simulcast the whole memorial service yesterday on big screens. And so they invited me to come to be one of the speakers. There was a person from our, state representatives were there, and one of them spoke. And it was interesting because they had called me there to come to share the gospel, just to come and share what I wanted to share about Charlie and to share the gospel. and which was so exciting. And it's been awesome just to see, you know, the response and how we've been responding. And again, hearing our leaders sharing the gospel like that, it's just absolutely been incredible. So, you know, this response, you know, has been so much different than what we see, you know, on the other side of the aisle and on the other side of the thought process of how people think in this country. And so to me, you know, it's like this, I actually shared this. I actually on my Facebook page, I shared a picture that actually showed two pictures. One was people at a prayer vigil praying in response to what happened to Charlie. The other one was the response of what happened in 2020. And I simply put up there the scripture where Jesus, and I know contextually he was talking about false prophets, but where it says, you know a tree by its fruit. And that is so true. The response in these different calamities that happen, you know, and these assassinations and these deaths that have happened, the response has been so much different. And really, it shows you that that is fruit, showing you what's really at the heart of the people who are responding, you know, in a negative way and in a positive way. And so anyway, it's just, it's exciting to see what God's doing. But this is what I want to tell you. So last night there was a lady at this event, and she was behind me in line because we had a dinner. And anyway, I turned around and I introduced myself to her. She looked at me and she said, "Pastor," she said, "you know what?" She said, I am tore up. I am so emotionally tore up." She said, "because I can't understand why God let this happen to Charlie. You know, I can't understand it." And I told her, I said, "you know what? I don't understand it either." I said, "but here's what I take comfort in. I know this. Go back to the Old Testament. What do you see? You see that Samson killed more Philistines in his death than he ever did his whole life." Yeah. And I told her, I said, "look what's happening in her country now. I mean, Christians. I'm seeing Christians who are waking up out of their sleep and who are repenting of their sins. I'm not talking about sinners, but Christians that are waking up, getting right with God, and getting on fire for the Lord." And, you know, as it was said, it was Tertullian, the great church historian, who said, "hey, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The church always grows and flourishes when it's been persecuted and at times of persecution." I think that's what we're seeing right now in our country, and it's exciting. You know, our hearts go out so much for Charlie's wife, Charlie's parents, his children, all of his family and friends and all of them. I mean, it's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. And it did it need to happen? No. But you know what? Charlie was a firm believer in Romans 8:28. I heard him quote that scripture as one of his favorite scriptures. You know, God works all things together for his glory and for our good. And that's what he's doing right now, and it's exciting to see.
So it's a pretty amazing phenomenon. You know, a lot of people saw people with their hands lifted up, worshiping God and all this. And there's people that said, "whoa, is that what church is like?" They didn't realize that it isn't, you know, a bunch of people with little bonnets on in long drab suits singing, "Bringing in the Sheaves." They are actually watching an actual worship service going, I want to check this out. This is really neat. Because, see, they have not seen that. And, of course, we have our just treacherous American news media, which is so scary. And then coupled with these people in our elected government, Ilhan Omar, saying things that are absolutely horrific. I mean, talk about trying to insinuate just, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with these people. I just cannot for the life of me figure it out. And then we find England right now today trying to declare a Palestinian state within Israel. And Bibi Netanyahu said, it ain't happening. Then you have Hamas wanting a ceasefire. No ceasefires, everybody. Hamas needs to surrender. There's a big difference. You don't start a war like the Second World War, and then when you really start losing bad, you go, "oh, ceasefire. Nope. You got to finish the job. You got to take them out and take their land." That's just the way it works. And for some reason, I don't know what's wrong with England, because they've always been dysfunctional. If you know, if you ever worked on an English car, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They have Lucas wiring, Prince of Darkness. Anyway,
they drive on the wrong side of the road.
They drive on the wrong side of the road, and their steering wheels are on the wrong side too. But anyway, they're trying to declare a Palestinian state. Somebody needs to explain to them, when you lose a war, which the Six-Day War happened when all the Arab countries ganged up on Israel to push it into the sea, destroy it. They lost. And they declared a ceasefire because Israel was going to take over the whole Middle East. It was only because Brennan sent Kissinger a message saying, if you don't stop Israel, we, Russia, will intervene and stop them. Because Israel was going to take over the entire Middle East. They would have owned all of Egypt, all of Syria, all of Lebanon, all of Jordan, all these Middle Eastern countries. They were losing. And they just chickened out and called a ceasefire. Well, Israel kept the West Bank, which was bought with Israeli blood, as well as the Gaza Strip, as well as the Sinai Peninsula, as well as the Golan Heights. These are all very strategic military places, because the West Bank literally cut Israel in two. They said no more. And so they kept that out of that. So on maps today, you see occupied territories. No, that is not occupied territories, everyone. Mm-hmm. That is a lie. The American news media has lied. It is Israel's territory bought with Israeli blood in the event of a war, and that's exactly what happened. And yet we find the distortion in our history books, in our American news media, and we're seeing it again right now with Hamas. Hamas started a war with Israel, everyone, October 7th. They have not surrendered yet. And until they surrender, Israel has full rights to continue to go after their adversary. I think it's terrible what's happening in the Gaza Strip. I see the starvation. I see those poor people. And Hamas doesn't even care about the very people that elected them as their government. Isn't that terrible? Wow. You'd think that they would try to intervene and save as many. No, they don't care. They're using the slaughtered Palestinians for their own advancement of their cause. And so duped nations like England, like many of your European countries, bought into the chili. Israel's not going to buy into it, friends. They're just not going to do it. And so understanding, when you lose a war, you lose land. That's what happened in the Six-Day War, when they picked up the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the Golan Heights, the Sinai Peninsula. And you know, as a goodwill gesture, Israel gave back to Egypt, the Sinai Peninsula, as a gift back. And it is interesting, in the Six-Day War, that all these nations came against Israel. But when you find this Ezekiel 38-39 war that's yet to happen, where Russia then becomes a major player in destroying Israel, Egypt is not one of the countries that come against Israel. It mentions Ethiopia, Libya, the Balkan states, Persia, which has Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. It mentions these countries that will come against Israel in the last days, but Egypt is not one of them. Isn't it funny that Israel gave them a token back, the Sinai Peninsula, and they actually have a shaky peace, but they're not at war with each other? So when you look at these things, you realize that there's a lot of stuff going on. But when you find outlaw diplomacy, like the United Nations is doing, it's really outlaw. They're not following true merit or wartime protocol. When you start a war, you lose a war, you lose land, and they did, and Israel's not going to give it back, and they shouldn't. So understanding that, what we're up against here. So the Bible says there'll be wars, rumors of war. There'll be pestilences. There's going to be problems, not just in the United States, but globally. We see that. And I tell everybody everywhere, you know, very soon Jesus is going to take his church home. Could be tomorrow morning. Could be tonight. Could be 5 minutes from now. Are you ready is the question. And, you know, I think these events like this memorial for Charlie Kurt, I think it's really exactly what he wanted. The entire world tuned in to watch this. And what they saw was Christians in action. People lifting up holy hands. People forgiving the very people that caused the problem. They saw people, our national leaders, standing up with the testimony of Jesus Christ, while the other part of the United States cowers and as we watch their hatred and their heads explode on TV as they are confronted with real facts, you realize that it stands for what America is. And I was very proud yesterday to see everyone from the president on down standing for what was right for the first time, friends, in many, many years. And so I look at that as a real blessing. And again, an America we can be proud of once again. Wasn't proud of America for the last 4 years. I thought it was the biggest joke that I'd ever seen in my life. That Afghan withdrawal, where Americans were left behind and slaughtered for no reason, to give the Afghan government and the Taliban, who blew up our buildings, an $80 billion airport for no reason? Are they deliberately trying to destroy America, friends? As I listen to them, as I watch their hatred, there's only one conclusion. If you take a handful of darts, and there's a dartboard, and you throw that handful of darts at the dartboard, the odds of one of those darts hitting the dartboard, maybe not the center, but at least the dartboard, are pretty good. How is it that every one of these things that this party is doing, supporting criminals, our tax dollars flying these senators all over Central America for gang members, when we watch them continually stand for criminals, when 212 Democrats last week in the House of Representatives voted no on doubling the criminal prosecution on illegals who commit felonies in the United States. Now, there was about, I don't know, 7, 8, 10, something like that, that voted with the Republicans to double the penalties. But why would any political party go so soft on crime? Friends, unless they're part of it. And I really believe they are. I don't know how a politician goes into office being worth $50,000 and in just 3 years now they're worth $30 million, but somehow they have some magic juju that they're able to pull off and dupe the American public. I'm amazed by that. I really am. But what I saw yesterday was hope for America, and I believe it shows what real Christianity is. I saw just that wonderful love that was there, not only for Charlie's family, but love for America. And I was very, very encouraged. And I want to especially say, Scott, for you and your service yesterday that you had, and many other services also across the United States. My heart goes out to you. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for taking your time and letting people know that truly there's a God in heaven and a God who lives. Yes. So important in these days that we live in to be about our Father's business. 8888, ask CSN is the number to call. Let's go to the phones. We have Roger on the line in Minnesota. Hi, welcome.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I've got a friend on Facebook, on my Facebook page, and he has served in the service. You know, he was a lifer, and I really appreciate that. But he posted something. He claimed it was his wife that went to church, or it was part of the message, but supposedly the message came out just slamming Charlie Kirk and saying how he was against blacks, he was against women, he was against immigrants, and it was just, you know, naming a group like
that. Yeah, he wasn't any of those things. That is all the filth that's generated by the dark side. I watched Jimmy Kimmel lie to America on broadcast airwaves. I guess he's now been reinstated. I guess programmers can certainly pull the programming or their commercials. But when I see somebody deliberately lie like that, there's no excuse for that kind of stuff. And it's everywhere. It's just being generated. You know, Charlie was a guy that went and debated anybody. And because he could beat them using common sense, they just exploded on him. They can't do that. And that's the way they always are. You see, when you can't logically win an argument, the only thing you can do is kill them. So whether it's Abraham Lincoln or Charlie Kurd or all the others that went down through our history that you just can't be, you know, I mean, look at the logic of the Democrat Party right now. Okay, everybody, I don't want to pick on anybody because like I've shared with people, my parents were Democrats for many years in the early years. This is not the party of John F. Kennedy. It is not the party of Harry Truman. This is a socialistic, communistic party now. When you see Mondani running for mayor of New York, and the Democratic governor endorses him, the Democratic Party is the Communist Party. I mean, let's face it. That's what it is. There's no difference. You know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And that's what it is. This idea of social democrat. No, it's a communism. You know what the difference, everybody, is between socialism and communism? The way it's spelt. Really? When it comes right down to it. So understanding that when you have somebody like Charlie Kurt that would use logic going after the policies that many people embrace. Well, I'm a guy and I just feel like a girl today, so I'm going to put on a dress and I'm going to compete in women's sports. I'm going to steal, that's right, steal all their scholarships. And the Democratic Party sits back and applauds that. Oh, wonderful. It just shows you how sick it is because their DNA, XXXY chromosomes, says what you are. And it doesn't matter what you feel like. You can feel like a dog. You can feel like a furry. You can feel like a man if you're a woman like you're a man. You can feel like you're a Porsche. It doesn't make any difference because facts are facts and lies are lies. And people now in this awful, awful indoctrination that's happened to our colleges, our high schools, and now even in our elementary schools, with this transgender junk being pushed down their throat, its reality is a sliding scale. It's relativism. And my relativity may not be yours. Bad isn't always that bad. Good isn't always that good. It's how you look at it. And what's bad to you may be good to me. See, that's how they can get away with blowing people's heads off. See, that's how they're getting away with it. When 56% or 54% of college students says it's okay to kill somebody that has a different viewpoint than you do, friends, we have a national issue here. And so when we understand just how bad this really is, that there is no absolutes in their minds, a guy isn't always a guy. A guy can be a girl. A guy can be a dog. See, relativism, there's no absolute. But we know in this world there is absolutes. And you cannot run a country. You cannot have a personal existence without absolutes. And that's what the Bible says. And so when you begin to interpret life your way rather than God's way, our foundational principles, we as a nation, If you throw those things out, then what is the foundation of a nation? And so when somebody like Charlie Kurt stands up and says, hey, this is what you have to have. Guys are guys, girls are girls. It doesn't matter how much makeup you put on or how many dresses. You see, this is the problem. And their heads explode because they can't handle truth. They just can't. And so when you, the idea of communism, just keep taking, we're going to just tax the rich, we're going to tax all the corporations, we're going to run them all out of business, and when they're all broke, we'll go after the middle class. And when that's gone, we'll go after the poor people. And this is the communist philosophy around the world and has never worked. And the only way it sort of works is in China, where either you toe the line or you're executed. Yeah, we know all about it. We watch it. The People's Republic of China, PRC. Wow. And yet the people of China have nothing, zero to do with their government. The people's, the democratic peoples of North Korea. I wonder how many North Koreans voted in their last election. Oh, they don't have elections. They have dictators. Isn't it funny? They always put the people or the People's Republic, and the people have nothing to do with it. Typical Democrat communist rhetoric. You see, this is the problem. And when you have Mandani saying, I want to legalize prostitution, I want to get rid of the police force and just use social workers. Friends, how long is that going to work before it starts looking like some Arnold Schwarzenegger movie of the future where crime runs the streets? Oh, I guess it already does there. See, that's the problem. So yeah, Roger, when you look at what Charlie was standing for, they have to try to destroy his legacy. Oh, he was racist. He's a bigot. He's this, he's that. He wasn't. All he simply did was state facts. And they just can't handle it. So again, Jimmy Kimmel lying to the American public. Oh, it was Omega that shot him. No, it wasn't. Far from it. And he knew it. He just lied. Coming up on a break, everyone. We're going to have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
I need to discuss my options for abortion.
After a series of health issues, this mom felt termination was the only answer.
Was still borderline thinking abortion until the little part at the bottom of the ultrasound started moving, and we realized there were two. And I knew then.
Preborn's network of clinics are there for moms in crisis, offering free ultrasounds and the gospel in action. At just 11 weeks old, these twins cried out for life.
Just seeing that, I said, I can't. I can't. So the ultrasound is what's still the deal.
To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. Baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call too. Call now, 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE, 833-90-SHARE.
Welcome back to part two of Chairman Answer on this Monday afternoon. We have with us Scott Parker from Calvary Chapel Festus, St. Louis, Missouri. And again, for all those in the Kennewick, Washington area, brand new station, just went on the air there, CSN, 88.7. So if you're in the area, no friends in the area, be sure to call them and tell them, hey, something new and good in the air. I think you'll enjoy that. We went to the break. We had Roger on the line. And again, should churches hold up Charlie Cook? really because of the slander that the dark side is trying to generate about him. And again, you can't believe these guys. Again, they'll bald face lie. They don't care. They don't care. Now, again, I believe in freedom of speech. And if you want to get out in front of Charlie's pet shop with a megaphone and start screaming all your lies, yeah, that's your constitutional right. When you lie over the air, friends, that's another story. And 1934 Communications Act forbids that to happen. Willful, deliberate lies. Yeah, everybody sometimes gets their facts wrong. That was no fact wrong. That was deliberately made to deceive. Now, something interesting, everyone, to remember, the FCC did not take Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Westar, who owns those stations, felt that this is in such poor taste that they took him off the air. And then the FCC and Trump got blamed for it, which he did not do. Now, Trump agreed with it. And certainly, I think most of us do, too. But the thing is, Westar, independent private ownership of television stations, said, don't want this. And they took him off. And so what do you hear from all the left-wing media? Oh, the FCC, encroachment of our First Amendment rights, all lying to you. They are professional strength liars. And they twist and distort everything from freedom of speech and where it came from. Again, the FCC didn't say take Jimmy Kimmel off the air. The owner of the TV stations and several of them took him off the air. And then the liberal media blames Trump and our freedoms are going away. Yeah, you know, your communist agenda is going away. And that's what it is. Because we all see what it is. You see, you can't keep doing that. And that is the problem. Roger, I hope that helps, because just as there is distortions concerning the First Amendment, which the FCC didn't do that, that was done by people who own these network stations feeling that it doesn't really represent the way they feel. They lie about Charlie too, and about you, and about me. And you know, it's funny, the Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. You know, so they did of the false prophets of old. So if you're doing something good, you're going to come under attack. That's just the way it is. Because this world has been given into the hands of the devil. You know, Satan said to Jesus there in Luke chapter 4, he said, all the kingdoms of the world are mine, and mine to whomever I want to give them to, if you'll bow down and worship me. And you know, Jesus immediately responded and said, oh, neener, 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 no, they're not. This is my Father's world. And started singing one of those old hymn songs out of the 1890s. No, he didn't do that. He did not say that they were not his kingdoms. He got him in a deal in the garden. God said, don't eat of the tree. The devil said, eat of the tree. Who's your daddy? It's who you obey. Man and woman ate of the tree. And we've been paying that price ever since man sold the kingdoms of the world into the hands of the devil. Friends, you know, when you see all the calamities go on, you see, Charlie, this is not our Father's world. It has been given into the hands of the devil. But Jesus is going to redeem it. That's part of what the tribulation is about. God gives the world a spanking. Deals with his nation of Israel, that final last 7-year period of time. And then he takes the world back finally. And for 1,000 years proves to man, you must be born again. Because at the end of the 1,000-year reign, Satan is loosed. And living in a perfect world, perfect government, perfect food, perfect ecosystem, perfect weather, perfect everything, they still rebel against God. And as sand is on the seashore, they come against Jesus to make war with him. Now, it's not going to be a bloody war. The Bible says with a word, just a word, Jesus speaks and they're destroyed. You see, it proves once for all, just what he said to Nicodemus, that religious leader of the day, you must be born again. It's not within man to live righteously. You say, well, I'd be a Christian, but I just can't be good on my own. You are absolutely right. That's why you need God's supernatural help to change you inside. And that's what being born again is all about. Quit trying to define life your way and say, okay, God, from now on, whatever time I got left is yours. I'm going to do it your way from now on. Roger, I hope that helps.
What would I call that then? Would they call that false rhetoric? Also, besides...
It's lying. Just point out Jimmy Kimmel and his lie. Oh, anyway, it was a Trump supporter that killed him. No, it wasn't. And he knew it. But you see, they lie. And, you know, when you have no regard for a baby in the womb, when you have no regard for life, why would they have any regard for anything else? See, relativism. Now in our elementary schools, well, you know, Junior, you may really be a girl. Do you feel like a girl today? If you are, we can start injecting you and start chopping your parts off. Yeah, that's what we'll do. You know what God, what the devil couldn't kill in the womb, now he's butchering outside the womb. Never fails. And if they manage to grow up at all, well, I'm sure he'll find some assassin bullet to cut him down. Hope that helps, Roger.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, it's a deal where it induces people wanting to kill. I was a member of a church up here in northern Minnesota before, and a guy had walked into our church, and he sat way in the back of the arena, or I've got a loss for words right now. I'm trying to hurry, but he's right in the back of the church, and he was listening to our pastor. It was Sunday school hour, and the pastor was teaching, and the guy started talking, you know, and he was drunk. And the pastor tried to correct him, and he got angrier and angrier. And finally, myself and a couple other guys walked up to him, and, you know, he didn't get belligerent or start swinging or anything like that, but he settled down, and I took a gospel tract, and I stuck it in his pocket. And, you know, I was a drunk before I got saved, and when I would wake up the next morning and remember what I did, I'd felt stupid, and hopefully he read that tract and felt stupid. But... I was just thinking maybe it's, you know, I'm really tempted to write back and maybe just go over each thing that she brought up and or whomever it was. And I really appreciate, Scott, your intro there about 2020 and what happened now with Charlie Kirk, because, you know, that was in Minneapolis, and boy, that's, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, Roger, I know. And so, well, listen, stay on the line. We'll send you out some things. If you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to Merle in California. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I have a question about the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
I have looked all through the Bible and have not found the word rapture in the Bible.
Well, it's because that is the Latin for it. You see, it's the word caught up in the English, so that's why you don't find it. But the rapture's all the way through the Bible. Scott, your thoughts?
In fact, I was teaching on this recently, and what I did is when I was reading that verse, in verse 17, that's 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Where it says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so when I was teaching on that verse, the words caught up there in English, it's a translation of the Greek word harpazo, and it means to be caught away, carried away, or seized and carried away is what it means. And so what's interesting is this is an argument people bring up. You know, usually the big debate in the church today about the rapture is not that there's not one. It's when will it happen, before the tribulation, in the middle, or at the end. But there are denominations, there are churches, and there are pastors who will teach that there is no rapture at all. Well, as kind as I can say this, that is plain ignorance of the Word of God. And it's not at all studious or scholarly to say that, because in that verse, those words caught up, harpazo in the Greek, in the Latin, as Mike said, is the word rapio, or rapio, R-A-P-I-O. And a form of that word, rapiamir, is what's used in the Latin Vulgate in that verse. It says that. And so what's interesting is when I was teaching on this, I actually have a Latin Vulgate from 1691. And I brought that to church. And when I read that verse, I opened it up in the Latin Bible and showed our congregation where the word rapture is in the Bible in that verse, because again, it's from the word rapio that we get the word rapture in English. So it just depends on what translation you're using. Here's what I would also say. The word Bible isn't in the Bible, but we believe in it. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but we know that God is three in one. There's lots of biblical concepts and doctrines that those very words are not in the Bible, but we believe them because the concepts and precepts are taught all through the Scripture. Of course, this is not the only place, you know, in the Bible where the rapture is taught, but this is the main place where the word where we use rapture, where it comes from, the Latin, is in that very verse. So yes, there is a rapture, and it actually is in the Bible. In our Bible, it's translated as caught up. In the Greek, harpazo, but in Latin, it's rapio. So that's the understanding of it.
Merle, picture language, pick your word, but that's what it is. And that right. That and you know, Merle, it's really sad because so many ministers have actually said things like that without really studying the Bible. They just don't know what it says. And so that's how they come up with that. So I certainly understand how people could pick up some of these ideas sometimes. Does that help?
Yes, it does. I also have another question.
Sure.
It comes about the fourth commandment.
Uh-huh.
To remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, and why the churches do not keep Sabbath instead of Sunday. I understand that the Sabbath is Saturday. I read that in the Bible years ago when I was just a child. I picked up my dad's Bible and started leafing through it, and I found that word about Sabbath. And then I began to wonder why we don't go to church on Sabbath. Why?
Because they worship on Sunday to commemorate Jesus raising from the dead, remembering that worshiping on Saturday was a covenant between God and the Jewish nation. Now, Jesus was going through a field, and he had some wheats in his hand, and he was shucking them the hull off and popping the kernels in their mouths. And the Pharisee says, oh, it's not lawful for you to harvest grain on the Sabbath. And Jesus responded to them. He said, the Sabbath was not made for God. The Sabbath was made for man. In other words, God says, you take a day off a week, I'll take care of you for doing that. It tells me two things. 6 days thou shalt work, on the seventh you shall rest. Tells me, I know people that are lazy, they're bums. They won't work any day of the week. They won't work any day, any month. They are lazy. I know other people, they got to keep the old nose to the grindstone. No, I never take a day off. You know, I gotta keep going. You know, well, you know, they're not trusting God. So I find that speaks of man's laziness, or it speaks of man's greed. And to think that they're going to make the difference. Well, God's the one that makes the difference. God is the one that brings the increase. And so I do believe it's important to me to realize rest is important for us as human beings. On the seventh day God rested, was it that God was just so tired? Oh man, you know, building that earth, you know, packing all that gravel together and getting that water in. Oh man, ooh boy, I got to take a break here. No, I believe it's a direct picture that God says you need to rest. And I think there's a day a week that we all should cease from our labors. Now, you know, if your donkey falls in a ditch, go get it out. It's permissible. Now, I will say this. If your donkey keeps falling in the ditch every day that you take your rest, get another donkey. You got something wrong there. But the thing is, take a day a week and enjoy what God's given you. Now, if you're a paramedic, your day of rest might be a Thursday or a Wednesday. If you're a police or a fire department, your day of rest may be one other day of the week. The people that today that claim, oh, we keep the Sabbath, well, they really don't. Not if you follow the Old Testament law. You couldn't travel so far from your house. You couldn't kindle a fire on the Sabbath. You couldn't make anybody else work on the Sabbath. If they get in a wreck going to Sabbath meeting on Saturday morning, they're not going to sit there in the intersection till sundown on Saturday night and call the doctor, the paramedics, the ambulance to come get them. They turn the lights on in their building. They make the guy at the power company work. So, and I asked them one time, I said, how is it that you violate all the parameters of Sabbath keeping and yet you still claim you keep the Sabbath? You know what they told me? They said, well, we keep it through grace. I said, oh, well, that's really interesting because I didn't find that in the Bible. What you're telling me is you keep the Sabbath according to your own interpretation. Wrong answer. You don't keep the Sabbath according to your own interpretation. You either keep it or you don't. And curiously, the Bible says if we err in one area of the law, we err in all of it. In fact, the Ten Commandments was never meant to justify a man. It was meant to show us we needed a Savior. And the Bible says we put on his right. My Sabbath requirement is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because after he said, concerning the Sabbath, he was Lord of the Sabbath. My Sabbath rest is found in him. The early church to commemorate Jesus raising from the dead was that they would worship on Sunday. Now, I don't have anything against any group of people getting together on a Saturday. Absolutely not. Or Sunday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday. But please, anybody that worships on Saturday, don't say that worshiping on Sunday is the mark of the beast when you don't keep the Sabbath according to the Bible either. Because that makes you a hypocrite. And that's a pretty bad thing. Any last thoughts, Scott?
Sure. You know, and Merle, like Pastor Mike said, the first thing you have to understand is the Sabbath day was a token or a sign of the covenant between Israel while they lived in the land and God himself. It separated them from the other nations. Also, what's interesting is when you come to the New Testament, out of all the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment to observe the Sabbath day is the only commandment that the New Testament writers did not repeat that Christians should follow it or should obey it. So that's very interesting too, because the Ten Commandments is God's moral law that applies to all people everywhere. And so that was the only commandment that in the New Testament, the New Testament writers did not command Christians to follow and to keep. Now, we don't keep the rest of the Ten Commandments in order to be saved or be right with God. We do it because it's God's moral law and because it's right. It's his nature. This is the way God is, and this is the way he wants us to be. But what is interesting is this, is the New Testament teaches that because of the fact that Sabbath means rest, and it means literally to rest from your work or from your labor, if you read Hebrews chapter 4, it actually tells us that we who have put our faith in Jesus Christ have entered the ultimate rest, which is rest in Christ. And it actually says in Hebrews 4:10, for he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. In other words, what the Sabbath was a picture of in the Old Testament, it was a picture of Christ. It was a picture of the rest that we have, no longer keeping the law and working for our salvation, but yet because of faith in Jesus, we have salvation through what he did for us, and therefore we don't work for it, but now we rest in the finished work that he did through his perfect life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. And so that's the rest we enter. Our Sabbath, we do, listen, Christians do, let me make this clear. Christians do observe, and we, let me say it this way, we obey the Sabbath day. We sure do. We do through faith in Christ. I'm not talking about the Sabbath day, but Sabbath itself. We enter into Sabbath rest when we put our faith in Jesus. And so also, let me real quick, if I could give you just two more scriptures to make this very clear for you as well. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, he said, "All you who are tired and weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest." The word rest there is the word for Sabbath. I will give you Sabbath. All of you who are weary from trying to make yourself right with God through all your working, he says, lay that down, put your faith in me, and I'll give you Sabbath. And that's what it's talking about there in Hebrews 4. And then also in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 16, Paul, in two places in the New Testament, Colossians 2, Paul says, let no one judge you. He's talking to Christians. Let no one judge you in food or drink regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Paul said for Christians not to judge other Christians whether they keep a Sabbath day or not. He says because all those things were a shadow of things to come, but the substance is Christ. In other words, the full fulfillment of the Sabbath in the Old Testament was Jesus. And that's what Paul says there. And then you have in Romans 14, Paul says it again. He says one person esteems one day above another, another esteems another day alike, or every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So here's how I always answer that question. Should a Christian worship God on the Sabbath? He sure should. And he should also do it on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. Every day is you know, we live a life of worship. So every day to us should be a Sabbath in the sense of worshiping God and giving him glory. But our rest comes through faith in Jesus. And so that's the understanding from the New Testament point of view. Mike?
Yeah, they came to Jesus. What is the most important commandment? Jesus said, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And he said, the second is likened unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. For upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. Everything the Ten Commandments were are summarized in love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. Now, it's really important because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What were his commandments? Not the Ten Commandments. It was love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two, hang all along the prophets. Now, if you go to, as an example, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Let me just read this to you because it's very clearly they were having services on Sunday. Now, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight, all on Sunday. They were having church service on Sunday. Found again, Acts 20, verse 7. So you can look at that, Merle. I think that'll help. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question about the Ten Commandments. Do you believe in the Ten Commandments?
They're all summarized in what Jesus said. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said this, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. You see, if you love God, you're not going to be taking his name in vain. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to be stealing from him. If you love God, you're not going to be building little clay images. Oh, this is what God looks like. Everything in the Ten Commandments is fulfilled in those two commandments Jesus gave us. I'm not under the Ten Commandments, nor are you, if you're a Christian. We're under the law of Christ. Love God and love your fellow man. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And so I don't have an opinion. I just read what he says. Hope that helps, Merle.
I'm confused, but you know what?
Well, I want to help you then. Listen, I want to help you because if you're confused, that's one of the things that we want to do is take away any confusion. You see, the Old Testament, the book of Galatians, tells us that the law was the schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. The Old Testament showed us how desperately we needed a Savior, that we could never be good enough keeping the Ten Commandments, keeping all the rules and regulations. We would never be good enough to go to heaven. And I don't go to heaven because I'm good or you are good. We go to heaven because Jesus Christ is good. And the Bible says we are clothed in his righteousness. Jesus offers us, through his blood, a coat. He says, look, you're dirty, you're filthy, wrap this around you and you'll be holy. Wow. Now that's pretty good. I go to heaven because Jesus is good, not because I am good. Now, I don't want to do anything the Bible tells me not to do because I want to please God. That's what it's about. But you see, again, the Ten Commandments were fulfilled in his love. And Jesus is our righteousness. If I think I ever can generate my own righteousness, I don't need Christ. But he's our often finisher of our faith. Myrtle, stay on this line. I'll send you out some books and DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Danny, Luke, Ruth, Lee, please call us. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Thank you so much, Scott, for being on. And God bless you all. Good night.
Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.